relationships, and maybe he intends to go further with them later on down the road. You know, I don't know, but I sure hope he does. I hope he's got good intentions, and I hope that he's able to develop some strong relations that are in the best interest of the United States of America. I think that's really what we're facing here, is that Trump, I mean, he knows. He's not afraid of anybody. He's not politically bound, and I think one thing that has really defined Donald J. Trump is the fact that he doesn't have all these donors that he owes any responsibilities for. You know, he is his own man, and it's kind of like, you know, everybody sort of hates the guy, and it's like that's kind of what makes him cool and fun, isn't it? In a bizarre sort of way. It's what makes him exciting. It's what makes him Donald J. Trump. I mean, we've got a president that is definitely out there. He's definitely living on the edge. He's definitely doing a good job. I think he's doing the best he can, especially from a businessman's perspective. I mean, he's got the best interests of America in mind. The one part that really bothers me, and I will resort to that here, is I personally am an economics person, okay? And on top of everything else that's going on, what's my biggest issue is the fact that he, despite, you know, keeping promises and doing all these things that he's done, Donald Trump has not done the best job with, well, he's not even interested, maybe not even aware of our fiat currency nightmare. I don't think that he has overall awareness of what our financial problems are. I just don't think he does. And I think that he needs, I don't know if he'd be educated. You know, that's part of the reason the Ted Cruz's of the world don't make it into office, is because they are aware of what our Republican financial basis is. And they want to make changes that I think now, seriously, I think we're too deep rooted. I don't think, you know, when you have debt at the level that the United States of America has accumulated it at, you can't just turn around and fix it overnight. I just don't see where it can happen. In fact, I'm pretty darn aware that it can't happen. And so I have reservations about the future financial basis of this nation. That is why I'm on the air. I mean, I got on the air many years ago because the primary factor was the fact that there was a radio show called The American Advisor with Joe Battaglia, put out by Goldline, and he did a pretty good show, I thought. He had callers. We've had, you know, for people who wonder why we don't have callers, call Tom Reed at American Christian Network. He can explain. I mean, we have tried and tried and tried with various technical sources, and we, you know, because I'm working out of Coins Plus, the building, we've just ran into a number of struggles trying to get these things together and trying to make things work out, and it hasn't been that easy. And it's just been difficult getting things set up to be able to take callers, and it all boils down to the wiring in the building. After the last visit, we you know, I don't need to share all the technical stuff with you. I'm kind of one of these guys that technology is kind of got a lot of really cool features to it and cool aspects. But on the other hand, it's, you know, it's hard. I mean, it's something that, you know, with every good comes an evil. It comes with everything positive comes a negative. And it has definitely posed its share of challenges for us. One thing I really would like to discuss today that's kind of on my mind is the way we respond to people. And that has so much to do with how we progress in life and where we end up going and how we, you know, proceed in our endeavors. And working with people has so much to do with, you know, with process and progress and friendship and tying into one another and, you know, just leadership. Folks, every one of us is a leader. You cannot pick and choose. A leader is born. A leader is made. A leader is a person who operates at a certain level, no matter what goes down, what goes on, how things work, how things happen. You know, a leader is someone who has integrity. They set a certain standard of a bar that they pursue, that they stand by. Now, granted, they might be broken. They might be fractured. A lot of leaders can be very fractured. I mean, you can have leaders. I grew up in Great Falls, Montana, and there was an area there. Our little town version of the projects, okay? You know, if you go to the big cities, you get the ghetto, right? You get the projects. And there were leaders down in the projects in Parkdale that were definitely influential. They definitely had an impact on those around them. But they weren't working for the best of those around them. They weren't doing the best for those who they were serving the most. I mean, they weren't, you know, they're not edifying. You got Ephesians 4:29 that says to edify everyone, you know, or to make sure you're edifying people all the time and you know, let no unwholesome speech come out of your mouth and only that which is edifying to those who hear. And, you know, that is something that I think that we kind of lose touch with, is that's what we're called to do. I mean, we are called to edify those around us. We want positive. Our desire is to uplift and uphold and to, you know, build those up around us. I mean, I want to edify those around us. I want to lift those people around me up. I want to make them better at what they do. And that, my friends, is really what it's all about, you know, about encouraging one another, right? And making others better. We want to encourage others. We want to help others become stronger. We want to help others become better. We got Hebrews, you know, that let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We've got 2 Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with complete patience and teaching. You know, when you read something like that, what does it say? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And then it says to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. We're called to lead by God, okay? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Singing, so I'm going to repeat it again. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I apologize. This scripture is really hitting home with me right now. I like it. I'm going to repeat it again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay? So, the word of Christ dwells in you richly. Okay? It's fertile soil. The word of Christ is fertile soil. Okay? Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. I mean, so we are to be teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. We want to teach and admonish. We want to uplift. We want to make others around us better than they were before they came in touch with us. That is our calling from Christ. So much, folks, on this earth that is so good is from the Bible, from Jesus Christ himself. When we go to Dale Carnegie, which you may or may not be familiar with, okay, there's probably one of the oldest self-help books out there is Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, you hear that and you're like, that sounds manipulative, doesn't it? How I'm going to win you to be my friend and influence you to do what I want. Well, I believe that Dale Carnegie wrote that book with a title like that to appeal to the greedy side of us all, okay? I read the book because it was recommended by a friend. I didn't read the book because I wanted to, you know, win friends and influence people. Obviously I wanted to become a better person. I wanted to walk with God. I wanted to be a kinder, gentler, a better soul. I really did. And I've had, you know, many employees read the book and be on board and try with all their might to, you know, encourage one another through this book and realize that when he says how to win friends and influence people, really what it's about is changing who. It's about changing the guy that's down inside of us. It's not about, you know, two things. It's not about changing people outside of us. It's also not about manipulating people. It's about sincerity. It's about listening skills. And I'll tell you, when you get into the listening skills, you absolutely know how to listen. I mean, you know how to hear people. People, listening isn't just a skill that you do. It's a skill that other people feel. It's a skill that people hold dearly in their hearts. It's something that they want deep inside of them. They want to be heard. They want to matter. Every single person on the face of this earth is different. And every single person on the face of this earth is special and unique, okay? every person on the face of this earth has struggles. They go through hard times. They have a lot of different issues they struggle with. But the one thing that, you know, I hope we all eventually come to know and understand is the human condition. The fact that we are really human. The fact that, I mean, we are human. We know one another. We are human. And we need to realize that. We need to stretch ourselves out, make ourselves the best, be the best we can, and set a good example for those around us. You know, I mean, to just uplift and to encourage, you know. And so much of what we do is spoken out of our tongue. We need to avoid, you know, major blow-ups, you know, which we all are aware of before, you know. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. You always get to have your little instigation with certain people, and maybe personalities clash. Maybe people think they're smarter than others, or they want to, you know, they don't trust their own heart. They don't trust their own sincerity. They, you know, something happens. People get scarred and they get wounded. The biggest issue that I think that I found is that people can choose to get scarred, and it's called a victim's mentality. And I had an employee that I used to do yearly reviews on. And every year, his review was pretty much the same. And one year, I just said, Lord, I can't keep doing this. This just keeps, it's the same old thing, same old thing, same old thing, time after time after time. And I prayed, and God popped in my head, victim's mentality. I had never, ever heard of it before. You know, here it's essentially, it's a real deal. It's a perspective, that, how would you put it? It's a perspective that everything happens to somebody that they have no control over any of it. That it's something that they just absolutely have to endure, that they have to go through, that they have to pursue, that they have to, you know, that they just have no choice. And so this employee that I used to, that God finally showed me this victim's mentality, and I looked him up. And by the way, when you think about the victim's mentality, you think of someone who's kind of weak and withdrawn, and it's not like that at all. It's more like somebody who just doesn't want to take responsibility for where they're at. And they want to pass the buck on to somebody else. And, you know, we don't need to engage with those people unless they're willing to take personal responsibility. Sorry, here, I'm finishing something up. Okay, so there we go. So the victim's mentality is a very real thing, okay? I've seen it on Dr. Dobson. I've seen it. God's shown it to me in different situations. I believe God will guide you. I believe in His Holy Spirit. I believe in, I believe that He is who He is and what He is. And I believe that He can be with us. I believe that He can support us. I believe that He can, you know, really show us where we need to improve and grow and become better at who we are supposed to be, because God made us a certain way. And what's important is that each and every one of you is unique. I think what's the hardest for me or us is for people who don't like themselves the way they are, or blame others for their mistakes or whatever, and want them to, they want to pass the buck, and enough of that kind of stuff. But I think that I think that it's really important that we, as we think about it, when we're dealing with other people, okay, here's the bottom line, okay? We want to show a genuine interest in other people, okay? That's really what we want to do. We want to be happy and positive and not lying, okay? We want to remember that people love hearing the sound of their own name, and people love, you know, people love to listen to other people and develop good. Well, that's not true. We make the best strides while working with other people by listening to other people and developing good listening skills. Our job is not to pick apart the message. Our job is to decipher the message out of all of the rubbish and wrangle that is going on at the time. We want to reach deep down in, and we want to pull the message out. I don't know how many of you have run into or met people that will literally chase down improper quotes. If you say, well, you know, the other day you said you didn't like driving in the rain. Well, no, that's not what I said. Well, that's what you said. No, what I said is I didn't like driving in the rain when it's when I'm in my Jeep or when I'm this or that. And then a lot of times the message is in addition to what, you know, the start of it is, and that they're going somewhere and they have a point to make. And a lot of times I think we need to let people finish making their point before we get to the point where we can, really help engage with that person and listen to what they're saying. So to kind of recap, when it comes to the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which, by the way, folks, I had no intention of discussing this or covering this today. I had a family situation that was, I wouldn't call it an emergency. It was a kind of an emotional thing that I had to deal with. And so I was a little late, and I apologize. And then I did intend to talk about the way that we treat one another, because I have, it's been on my heart. It's been on my mind. It's a very important thing that I think that we need to look at. And I think we need to watch out for people that are very commandeering and very negative and very destructive and very hurtful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We need to show a general interest in other people. Now, that's something that you need to work on, okay? How do you show a general interest in other people? You need to actually talk to them. My wife gets so irritated with me sometimes. We run into crazy situations. We were boating this weekend, and we ended up at Shooters which is at Rockford Bay on the other end of Coeur d'Alene Lake. The sun was going down, and I ran into the mother of a girl that I went to high school with, which is, what are the odds? And she's from Montana, and she was visiting, having a meal, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was a very short period of time. But I took that time. We talked. We caught up. It was really nice. And my wife's like, man, you know, it's like a good friend of mine always says, whenever my wife disappears, I don't ever have to ask, where did she go? I just have to ask myself, who did she run into? And then the second thing is to be happy and positive. I mean, to just be happy and positive. Now, can we always do that? Nah, not always. But I think that, you know, for an overall fact, I think we kind of can. I think that we can operate that way. Remember that people love hearing the sound of their own name. And I, you know, I learned that the hard way. I will tell you what. As a business owner, I, prior to owning this business, was in banking. And I had a mind like a steel trap for people's names and addresses and phone numbers. And, well, that might be a little extreme, but names, general parts of town, you know, what was their kind of historical portfolio with us? Who were they? What had they done? You know, I had profiles on people. And when they walked in the branch, not only would I know their name, but I knew enough about their loan and what was going on that actually it mattered to them. It really did. And I did the same with B of A. Once I opened my business, Coins Plus, and we grew and grew and grew, and I got to the point where I wasn't sure what to do, you know, or which direction to go, and then, you know, as we expanded and the building grew and all that stuff, I will admit I started to lose track of people's names a little bit. And occasionally I would meet somebody, a customer or a client, and I would shake their hand. I'd talk to them a bit, and I'd come out another day, they'd be here, and I would remember them. Okay, that was supposedly my strong suit. I had a couple situations come up where I did not do that. Not on purpose. I will admit, now here's that there was one that I've done a few on purpose only because I wasn't completely positive about the name and things like that. But overall, I wanted to keep it that way, just healthy and, you know, in a nice open dialogue that way. And so I, you know, what I'm getting at in my long, typical, long-winded, roundabout way is when I express to others my appreciation and my gratitude towards a customer for all their business and doing business with us and acknowledging who they are and letting them know you are a very valued customer. Every penny you spend, it matters. It's not just because, ooh, la, la, money in our pocket. It has a lot to do with, you know, people's general, I don't know, demeanor. But so remember that people love hearing the sound of their own name. People love hearing the sound of their own name, okay? They like to know who they are. Listen to other people and develop good listening skills. Learn to listen, you know, make people feel heard. It's important to make people feel heard and try to work things out, you know. Let people know they matter to you. And then you go on to talk about other people's interests rather than your own. A lot of people like to talk about themselves or not talk at all or, you know, avoid. There's also ways that you can rudely ignore other people's, you know, personal perspectives and, you know, and not show enough respect or care for what they've got going on. It's, you know, something that's very important to them. We should show that it's very important to us. We need to give others a sincere feeling of significance and importance. And I think that that is something that we need. I think that we can all extend that to everybody that we come in contact with, can't we? We can find something that somebody's good at. We can help them to excel at what they're good at. We can help each other. I mean, we can build each other up. It's like I was saying earlier in Ephesians 4:29. You know, it's okay to let people feel important, to let them feel that they're significant. And some people are just, there's just this constant begruddledness, and they don't want to hear what they want to hear. I mean, there's 12 ways to win, you know, people to your ways of thinking. Now, think about this. When you're out sharing the gospel, and, you know, I'm kind of doing a little bit of the Dale Carnegie check-in thing here. There's 12 ways that you can essentially bring people over to your way of thinking. One is to get the best of a situation, avoid arguments, okay? Always listen to others' opinions and now never tell anyone they're wrong. Admit if you're wrong. That's a hard one for some of us. They always joke that men struggle the most with admitting they're wrong. I suppose that's the case with all of us, they say. I think it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. And maybe, you know, when we're wrong, we should step up and try to admit we're wrong and ask God for forgiveness, ask the other person for forgiveness, and try to, you know, find some middle ground where we can, you know, maybe work things out a little bit. Let other people talk more than you do. I think that's another one. To show friendliness, just to be friendly to one another and to just be kind. And, you know, and that's really what, you know, what it's all about. I think it's important that we do that, that we just show friendliness and kindness to one another. Let other people talk more than you. Let them know they're being heard. Make sure you're letting other people know that you're seeing their point of view. And let the other people know that, you know, that ideas are their own. Don't steal ideas and take them. Don't be afraid. See the other person's point of view. Show empathy with others' ideas and desires. Infuse drama into your ideas. You hear that? Infuse some drama into your ideas. Add some enthusiasm. Add some life. Appeal to the better nature of others. Finish with a challenge. There's some pretty neat stuff here, folks. I think that, you know, when you're really working with people, there's ways that you can kind of encourage people to change without arousing resentment. You can start with genuine praise and appreciation. You can draw attention to their mistakes gradually. A lot of times they use what's called the sandwich technique, where you take two positives, and if you have to discuss a negative, you sandwich it between two positives. And some people are just hypersensitive. And a lot of times with family, I'll tell you, family in a work environment can be very difficult. But, you gotta avoid bringing up people's mistakes. People don't want to hear them a lot of times. It depends how you lay them out, but you just got to be really careful how you do it. Admit when you make mistakes, and then you can talk about other people's mistakes. But a lot of times you can say, hey, I know when I was in this situation, I did this, or, when I was in college, I took too big of a class load, and it was just a lot. And, I've got a situation like that right now with a family member that I'm just trying to, I want to help him succeed. I want him to succeed. Why would I not, But at the same time, I don't want him to bite off more than he can chew. I want him to ease into it and see if he can do okay. And a lot of times a good leader asks questions. He doesn't give orders. It's definitely a good way to lead, to ask questions. That's an art, right? We've all seen attorneys at work. We've all seen them asking questions. And how they do that, and how they basically accomplish their goals. They make their points, but they make their points with asking questions and not with bossing people around. And I think that it's sad that people will perceive if somebody wants to be offended, they're going to be offended, right? But what's important is that we remain blameless before the Lord. And I think that that is the most important part of who we are and what we're doing, is that we try to stay blameless before the Lord and see if we can't help one another to, to live a nice, pure, clean, healthy lifestyle, and not take the bait, if you will, the street bait, where a lot of people engage in very negative, unhealthy, communicative fashions. And we don't want to do that. We want to communicate in a positive, healthy, environment. We want to keep things good and upbeat and full of love and kindness and grace and things like that. But we don't want to humiliate others, and we want to keep their pride intact. We want to use plenty of genuine praise and encouragement on the slightest improvements. We want to give people a reputation to maintain. We want to encourage them. We want to show them that their task is easy to correct. We want to suggest what we want them to do and make them happy about doing it. All this stuff sounds neat and great, but, it's kind of the Dale Carnegie program, and I kind of bounced through it a little bit. It's a Christian program that was built back in, I think, the 1920s or 30s, when obviously we know the Depression was on, things were tough, and we had a situation where you know, basically a guy wrote a book and he's like, here's how you affect people. You don't muscle them. You don't bully them. You go in, you use finesse and kindness. And I think he might have been one of the first men, well, you know, to really popularize diplomacy on an individual one-to-one basis in a relational setting. That he, I think speech prep from the beginning, Carnegie suggested, should generate an enthusiasm within yourself for public speaking. Even if you have a financial or social goal in mind, if you plan as soon as you can and look for topics that you know a lot about, you know, people get so worried about public speaking. If you know what you're talking about, if you had to stand up on a stage and answer questions about you and your family and your own life, you're not going to be that nervous because it's going to be all information you know off the top of your head. You're not going to be missing out on anything at all. You know, you're not going to be worried about retaining certain facts or retrieving other facts or all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I think public speaking is, a lot of it is so psychological. You know, we really want to, when we speak to others, we want to appeal for action. We want to pay the audience sincere compliments, which is the same as you do normal people. You know, you, it's okay to make people laugh. We give a fitting verse of poetry or quotation. We remember, you know, who we are and the humanity of it all. And we, you know, we want to discuss things in a way that are uplifting and edifying and kind and gracious. So basically, that is that. And, that was an interesting little touch there. The Dale Carnegie thing I did not intend to do, but I really love the guy. I'll tell you, that book had the most probably other than the Bible, that book had the most profound impact, on me in my life that I have ever seen. I mean, that it had the most profound impact I have ever faced. I mean, it just does. And it really taught me how to work with people. It taught me how to get along with people. It taught me how to make friends with people. And it, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, it's, you got to realize you can get wisdom from non-believers. And I think people forget that. They want to get all their wisdom from believers. Well, that's neat too. But at the same time, we've got to realize that we're all created in God's image. And some of the most brilliant people in the world are, you know, non-believers. And I don't know. I think we just need to be square. You know, I think we just need to seek things out in a way that is positive and beneficial and uplifting. And anyway, we want our key thinking to be positive and not critical. We want, like, We just definitely want to show a form of edification and encouragement towards one another. Second Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out. I've talked about, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, admonishing one another in all wisdom. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, you know, and there you go. Darkness was over the face of the earth. And then they have, I like this. I have this list of verses on encouragement, and it talks about God creating the earth. I guess that's encouragement. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride and possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. You know, and it goes on. Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Think of this in Hebrews 13. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Okay? There's angels roaming the earth as we speak, folks. We don't know where they are, what they look like, what they're doing. But I think they're out there. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, those who are mistreated since you are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And it goes on about faith. By faith Abel offered God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteousness. God commended him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch, which is quite profound, was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Enoch, I believe, had to be involved in the construction of the Great Pyramids. They're built in base 365.2464, blah, 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 the number of the length of a day. He must hold firm to the trustworthiness, or to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. I mean, we need to be prepared all the time. It says the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. That's tough, isn't it? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker, worthy, it basically says, who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of a double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with them, that he may be ashamed. And it goes on and on and on and on. Help the weak, be patient with them all. Build one another up in 1 Thess 5. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another up. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they'll not escape. We do not want you to be uninformed, and it goes on and on. So, bottom line, folks, is we want to be bound to God through faith. We want to be edifying, uplifting, guiding, Godful, God-fearing, loving, good people. Okay? That's who God wants us to be. Now, when you come to the financial end of it, which is always my last little minute plug, folks, I am way off base from this, but I'm telling you, we are in a very serious situation. If you have a portfolio, send it to us. We're kind of doing some reevaluations right now, trying to find some basis by which we can assist others and help them to grow and help them to be good stewards to the best of their abilities, and to, you know, to just glorify God in all that we do. We want to lift our spirit high. We want to be reflective of the spirit that lives within us to one another. And that to us financially is super important. And that I believe God put us in a place that I'm capable of doing that, unlike anybody else in the world. You can throw your money in paper this, paper that. But you know what the bottom line is? I talked to people this weekend. Everyone knows it ain't going to last forever. It's not going to last. It just isn't going to be there. Right? It's going away. And it's not something solid that just, it's not one of the things that God ordained. So just to keep it simple, folks, give us a call. Let us help you secure yourself, folks. The prices are too darn good. And the world's a little confusing and chaotic. I'll give you that. But I will tell you that now what a great time to buy. You don't have to worry about downside. You got your money secured. It's wise. Just do what God says, all right? Sorry to keep it so simple and such a man time flew today. I thank you for tuning in. Take care. God bless. And we'll be back soon. Bye-bye.